Should we expect O'Banner to start knocking down some more threes? In my opinion, when O'Banner starts hitting threes, it will open up the lane more. It will open the lane more open for it'll open up the lane for Shannon.
It'll open up the lane for people to penetrate.
Great question from our boy Josh. Joshua, thank you for that, man. When O'Banner starts hitting threes, it will open up the lane more for Shannon and K-Mac. Sorry, I didn't
do butchered it, man.
I didn't do my Hooked on Phonics earlier, and I barely got out of Texas Tech with the ability to read English, the English language. That is pure, although I can't be a fraud like Chris Beard here. This is just your average HEB sparkling water with a little bit of caffeine, because we want to get it lit and keep it loose by staying extremely caffeinated and focused on this episode. Thank you all for joining us for the Ramblin' Raiders podcast. Again, some premium Texas Tech content with the occasional laugh. We're talking about that thriller in the fog, and then also looking forward to the Mississippi State Big 12 SEC showdown. We are powered by Guns Up Nation and a part of the Guns Up Nation podcast network. And joining me, as always, my two regular hosts, the Ramblin' Raiders themselves. I have Nick, get your t-shirt, Thompson. Nick, what's up, dude?
Road Raiders, get your t-shirt on the website, ramblinraiders.com. Let's go.
That's an interesting sparkling water situation we got going on.
I've got
here
one of these too, and let me say, the cucumber lime flavor in Gatorade is my favorite Gatorade flavor. Is a close second. I just love cucumber lime.
I don't know if caffeine,
it's like spa water.
I don't know if caffeine and wait,
is that weird? Lane's making a face.
Yeah, hold
Did you
on.
Just say
hold
your on, favorite on. Gatorade flavor was cucumber lime,
dude. It's an underrated flavor. The blue and the yellow obviously are great, too.
I had one cucumber lime. I vowed never to pick up that Gatorade bottle again.
It's really refreshing after like a workout.
It's like sugar mixed with what's supposed to be refreshing, but it's like way too much sugar.
Lane has PTSD just from like cucumbers in general, any sort of veggies. You have him right here. I was going to say Lane Life After Kansas Griffon, but I think it should be Lane Cucumber Gatorade Griffon, man. So we know now you are not a cucumber Gatorade guy.
No, I like cucumber lime drinks. Nick is onto some. They are refreshing, but not in a Gatorade bottle,
not the Gatorade form. I'm just not sure about how I feel right now, but we'll see as it goes on, as the episode goes on, about this sparkling water caffeine mix. But right now it's starting to kind of make me think that these are two things that were really never meant to go together, sparkling water and caffeine.
I can't really taste the caffeine.
I don't know. It
what do you expect caffeine to taste like?
It gave me a chest
like
burn.
A coffee drink kind of, maybe, or like a some kind of coffee in there.
Hey, for all we know, it's just sparkling water. And they said it's a placebo.
It's just the fizziness, I guess, is caffeine.
I don't think caffeine has a flavor.
Guys,
yeah, I guess you're right. Caffeine doesn't.
We're off to a hot start.
We're not even going to talk about Kansas. We're not talking about anything. We're just going to sit here and review HEB's unsweetened sparkling water cucumber lime flavor. I mean, you guys,
the
flavor,
cucumber really does have a good hit at the back end.
It really accentuates the limes, what you're
yes.
saying.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Naturally flavored with other natural flavors.
Now, that I'm not buying because all the fizz.
Go ahead and if you're, we haven't had a sponsor in damn near feels like maybe 4 or 5 months. I think we just found our new one, HEB Sparkling Water with caffeine. Do I recommend? We'll see. Let me get through some more of this episode and get back to you. All right, guys, if you haven't already, real quick, if you could rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Pods, Spotify, wherever you're getting this content, we would greatly appreciate it. It helps us gauge where we're at with our listenership and what we can work on, what we can improve on, and it helps us grow the brand as well. If you haven't already, we'd also like you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, Ramblin' Raiders Media. We're working to put more visual content out whenever we can. We've kind of dabbled and gone here and there with the visuals, and we're going to continue to ramp that up. So make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel. Our website is ramblinraiders.com. 10% of all of our merch sales, which Nick, I'm going to have him give us an update here real quick, because the merch sales have been going through the roof. We got a bunch of Road Raiders out there. 10% of merch sales goes to a charity of the month. This month's charity, the 10% of these These proceeds are going to go to Lubbock Meals on Wheels, a great organization that helps deliver meals to those that are in need and have a hard time, you know, accessing, getting around to get groceries, get food in any way. Lane and I, actually, our mom is a big proponent of Meals on Wheels, and I remember as kids she'd make us, you know, we were fighting tooth and nail.
It was kind of fun though. But then
then we'd get out there in the field and start doing it for the Houston area and the Bay Area down here in Galveston County.
They get pumped when they see you bring that food, and
it's awesome.
Yeah, and when you're a young person like that too, they really get excited.
Yeah, it's a great faith-based organization, I believe, and you know, yeah, as Lane said, we really enjoyed getting to do it. At first we'd be against it, and then we'd go out and you get to see the looks on these individuals' faces whenever you're dropping food off to them. I don't know if they're just really hungry or if they're happy to see you, but either way, it's a great, you know, charitable cause, and we really enjoy doing it. So Lubbock Meals on Wheels, you know, they have these Meals on Wheels organizations all over the state, and that's where our money is going to go this month. And it's where our buddy from Cali, I forgot, it's D Banner is his Twitter name. Thank you, man, for that. You know, he was fair about
he's paying his debt.
He paid his debt. He, you know, fair and square. He knows he lost that bet, and he gave $300 to Lubbock Meals on Wheels. So thank you.
A man of his word. Well done.
Yes, sir. Thank you, D Banner something 7. You know, is his ad on Twitter if you want to go give him a follow. Great guy and willing to pay the piper whenever we came collecting. We have our write-ups. Our episodes are on there. Nick's going to, you know, maybe get back to putting more of the episodes on the website. And then we also have... Now, you guys doing some inside here? We also have our apparel that we just discussed. 10% of all apparel sales goes to this month. It's going to Lubbock Meals on Wheels. Boys, we're kind of at this look around campus. I'm going to see if Nick has anything because I'm ready to get straight into the content.
Yeah, look around campus. As this recording is being recorded, Drew Steph is going to commit to Texas Tech tonight. You got the crystal ball from our insider, I guess. Letting us know a little bit ahead of time.
We have one of those now.
But that's a big commit. I've been seeing a lot of people getting pumped around, you know, his commitment's coming tonight. It's coming tonight. So it's great to announce that he is coming to Texas Tech.
Yeah, out of Frisco, Texas. He is a class of 2023. That class just keeps getting stronger for Coach Adams. Man, he's a 4-star on 247, and he has offers from St. Louis, pretty good basketball school, TCU, Xavier, Colorado. I mean, this guy's, you know, he's promoted as a Power 5 starter, and he will be one day. He's good at shooting.
Great. We need it.
Yeah, I was going to say, the more shooters, the merrier. God, this is coming back on me worse than drinking a Miller Lite or a nice gin and tonic.
You need a Pepsi, man.
Good Lord, man. I think, yeah. You know, I inherited a lot from our mom, dude. One of those is that bad acid reflux, man. Someone get the Pepsi out. But, and you know, again, I don't even know. I can't really feel much caffeine either. So I'm starting to think this is just straight fraudulent. But I got to be careful saying that because HEB pays the bills. So make sure you shop HEB. What else do we have for our look around campus, guys, before we jump into basketball stuff?
Yeah, quick other commits for us. We got Jake Strong, a strong commit coming out of Northwest High School.
That's right.
Also in the North Texas kind of area, he's a quarterback. He's Zach Kittley's first quarterback commit since coming to Texas Tech. Unranked.
Gillen's
no stars.
Unranked.
Giving some Billy Zappi vibes, huh? Kind of below the radar.
Below the radar. He's got a strong arm, apparently, like Pat Mahomes.
Yeah, and I heard he's going to come in and be a great like assistant to the regional manager for whoever our starter is next
Which we
year.
Don't know who's going to be yet.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, he's a good commit. Like, honestly, for Zach Kittley, he's a quarterback whisperer. He knows talent well.
He's going to sprinkle some of that QB fairy dust on him.
I mean, he has offers from Sam Houston, which is a good FCS school, Memphis. He's got an offer from Cincinnati. He's got an offer from Colorado State, Indiana. So these are some decent... You know, football programs that are giving this
since
guy
he was
a look.
In the playoff.
Yeah. He's also a class of 2023. And since he was in the playoff, correct?
That's our rival.
That's our conference team.
Yeah, they're coming into the Big 12 now and will soon be a rival that we're going to have to, unfortunately, rain on their parade. The Joey McGuire train is going to run right through Cincy, and we'll just say Final Four no more. College football playoffs no more for them. But that's a good thing. And I was, you know, as far as the joke about the assistant to the regional manager, we do need a guy to come in and, you know, I think
be a program guy.
What Jake Strong really kind of reminds me of is a guy who's willing to maybe ride it out, be a program, be a developer, and you know that in the day and age that we live in where it's instant gratification in the transfer portal, a guy who does stick it out and learns the system, learns under Zach Kittley, gains his trust and his respect and approval, you know, who knows, man? Sky's the limit. We saw back in the day with BJ Simmons or Simons or Cody Hodges or Sonny Cumbie. These dudes who are willing to ride it out, stick it out, can have huge years at the end of their career.
Big
so
years.
To me, I'm getting those kind of vibes from Jake Strong. He could be that guy, maybe be that Billy Zappi for us. Really exciting news.
Absolutely, and that's exactly what Zappi did, man. He rode out with Kittley, and at the, by the end of it, he was you know, basically an offensive coordinator playing behind center. So yeah. This guy could very well end up like that, and who knows, maybe even gets to start earlier than expected.
Absolutely, man. So anything else on Look Around Campus? I know we got baseball coming up.
Yeah, baseball. I'm gearing up for that one. It's going to be a great baseball season. Oh, I mean, on that note, I don't know if you're subliminally trying to tell me something, but you just reminded me.
I mean, we've been doing this for 2.5 years. I just know exactly where to lead you.
Jace Young came out, another accolade for the preseason, you know, awards for Jace Young. Preseason Big 12 Player of the Year.
Really?
Yeah, as our second baseman.
That's a big deal. And we're ranked, like I saw, I think we were ranked 23rd. UT's number one. That will
obviously change
over time. You know, yeah. I mean.
Yeah, but this is not something that was a surprise to anybody who follows Tech baseball. He's already gotten awards for like National Player of the Year by, I think it was either D1 Baseball or Perfect Game. I think it was Perfect Game that came out and gave him the preseason National Player of the Year. So, you know, Big 12 Conference, there's only 10 teams in there right now. Big 12 Preseason Player of the Year for all Jace Young there.
Absolute stud. By the way, and I'm remembering, I forgot to throw it back to Nick when I was going over our merch. For real, we weren't kidding about our merch sales ticking straight up. You know, really seeing a nice incline there in the merch sales department because of Nick's Road. You know, I'll just do a little mid pod plug here. Road Raiders shirts. We'll share them later on, guys. Nick did a great job with the design. It looks amazing, and I think it sends a message that in the state of Texas, obviously we marked off Austin because we own Austin. That's Texas Tech South Campus. I mean,
we fill it out more than their fans.
Yeah, I won't say South because actually U of H is our South Campus. It's Texas Tech Central Campus, and you know, Texas Tech Junior whenever it comes to basketball season. But whether it's Waco, whether it's DFW, whether it's Houston, it doesn't matter. Whenever we play in Texas, we fill up other people's arenas and fields, and we bring the noise. So get your Road Raider shirt. We've had a lot of people that are interested in buying them, and let us know if you have any questions. We'd be happy to help you out there. I wanted to give a credit to Nick because we talk about, you know, the percentage of 10% going to charity from our merch sales. Well, we finally have a lot to give, and I think that's, you know, due in part and to the credit of Nick Thompson. T-shirt extraordinaire.
T-shirt well done, Thompson, Nick. Baby.
T-shirt Thompson.
I like it. T-shirt Thompson.
However, I did hear someone did buy a Laney's Locks or Hot Takes Laney Cakes t-shirt. One sale. We got
there
one
was,
sale.
There was
yeah. a dude in January who bought a long sleeve shirt with Lane's face on the back of it, him drinking a beer.
Great shirt.
And it is just a hell of a shirt. That's another one y'all are going to want to go check out.
Lane is really good to market to dudes.
For some reason, it's kind of like with Barstool. Like, dudes.
I'm a friendly guy. I have, you know, a lot of friends.
Lane polls, and he polls very high in the male community when it comes to his face on merchandise. Other than that, guys, I know we've been super busy with work. Hadn't had a lot of time to deep dive into other Texas Tech sports. I promise we'll get a review going more so on that. Right now, we're pretty much focusing on recruiting highlights. But is there anything else, guys, that y'all want to talk about before we get into this, you know, discussion on basketball?
Well, last one for me. I mean, I'm going off on
Nick's always got one in the tank.
We did get another commit, a middle linebacker out of Midland Lee High School, Wesley Smith. Dude's another underrated recruit coming to Tech, and he's also a class of 2023 guy. No, actually, he's 2022.
How many stars does he have?
None.
Oh!
However,
what are we doing?
However,
but he's a great tackler.
He has had 100-plus tackles in the past two seasons. He runs a 4.68 40-yard dash.
This guy's a real deal.
He's a beefy dude. He's a beefy dude, and we welcomed him on Twitter to Linebacker U.
All I can say is, oh, no, yeah. All I can say is in McGuire and Kittley, we trust.
And who's our DC?
I still forgot that.
Oregon boy.
Yeah, Nick's going to look that up for us.
It's DeReuter. DeReuter, yeah.
Yeah, DeReuter.
We trust him too. Old Timmy. Big time, Timmy Jim.
Big time. All right. There we go, guys.
Big time, Timmy Jim?
Timmy Jim.
Is that what they call him?
That's apparently what they dubbed him when he got on campus.
That was Tim Lincecum's nickname back in the day, if y'all can remember him.
Ooh.
Didn't make it to the Hall of Fame, though.
Oh,
on
man.
This ticket.
Yeah, there's been some letdowns. We won't go down that road, because we'll get ourselves into a three-hour episode talking about steroids, Barry Bonds, and all that nonsense. So here we go, guys. We're going to talk and break it down our main content for tonight, the double OT thriller in the fog. Instant reaction. I'm going to just kind of start us off. Really proud of the way these guys competed, man. Anyone who watched that game can say, there was a stretch where I think in our group message was lighting up. We said, this could get ugly. And you're on the road, debatably the toughest place to play in college basketball. Crowd's down on you. Fans are rocking. And what do? Mark Adams coaches his little chili pepper heart out. And he gets the guys together. We just keep grinding. We wear them down. We keep going through our sets, going through our motions, playing hard-nosed physical defense, and we work our way back into this game and then arguably gave it away in overtime. I mean, Texas Tech earned the respect from a national standpoint from all kinds of media pundits and those who are experts with college basketball. Bryson Williams was unguardable in this game. And I'll say it, we talked about it on the pod, at their peak, when they're firing on all cylinders and playing at their best, they can beat anybody in the country. And that's, that's just the way it is.
Yeah, that's
absolutely
right.
Respect us and bow down.
Respect us, bow down. We could win a natty. We can beat anybody in the country.
This team is capable. Instant reactions, guys.
Yeah, instant reaction. I feel the same way. I think I said the same thing. This game could get ugly. We're already in the bonus in the 10-minute mark. On the road, and we're down. Usually that's a death sentence in basketball.
I mean, at one point we were down double digits.
Down double digits, already in the bonus. Yeah. You're on the road. You're not getting the majority calls, just the way basketball is. And that's a death sentence a lot of times in basketball. Being in the bonus that early, 10-minute mark, and these guys, they shut down Abaji down the stretch of 5 minutes and came back and arguably, it's frustrating. It's bittersweet because we make a great comeback and we ended up almost giving away the game. Free throws. You make free throws and win this game.
Well, we're going to get into that in the takeaways. TJ Shannon, which we'll also talk about, just locking down Abaji there. I think it was around the 6 to 7 minute mark. They had 70 points. I'll never forget. And then as the game's going, we're kind of chipping away. All of a sudden, I look up and it's sub a minute or I forgot what we went to OT on. But they had scored 4 points in a 6 minute stretch.
Oh, we went on like a 14 to 15-4 run.
It was incredible, and a lot of that was due in part to the fact that TJ Shannon's defense on Ojai Abaji. Nick, bittersweet. We've heard bittersweet. I wasn't even mad after the Kansas State game. I was mad.
I wasn't mad. Maybe bittersweet's not the right word. It's just frustrating because we should have won. You feel like you should have won it.
I agree. But it's weird. Right after that game ended, I was just kind of sitting there on the couch, stunned and sort of shocked. But I was just felt kind of proud. I wasn't even that mad. I was like, damn, we just took them.
We battled.
Double OT.
And it took Abaji making a deep three, big time gamer shot,
and he had to drop 37. That shot was amazing, Nick. Sorry, give us some analysis on that one, man.
I got two words for you guys: heat rash. I had a freaking heat rash watching the game. I'm FaceTiming Olivia, my girlfriend, so she could watch it through my phone, and I turned it back to me. At a commercial or something, she's like, "You have a heat rash right now going on?" I was like, "Yes." I'm like over here just like freaking out.
Nick goes, "My pulse is skyrocketing."
I didn't go to bed until 1 o'clock because my pulse was skyrocketing. Man, this was just a good game for Texas Tech. Great comeback and great overtime play by Texas Tech. Couldn't bring it out and actually win this one, but it was a good game. And these are the kind of games that get you ready for March Madness. And even though we didn't win this one, it was a plus. I don't want to say a moral victory for Tech, but I think it was a plus in the department of getting us ready for March.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely agree with that. And last thing I'll say is Mark Adams coached a hell of a game in the second half to get us in the position to go to overtime.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he coached a hell of a defensive game. He decided to go face guard on Agbaji.
It's a French Bernese.
Which is a game changer. It's Mark Adams. He's the best defensive coach in the country. It's Mark Adams.
He's equivalent to a French Bernese, a bridesmaid's dresses. Like, it's a French Bernese. You're just not going to get any better.
It's a Mark Adams defense. You're just not going
to
get any better.
You're really not. And so, again, to that point, we garnished a lot of national attention after this game. Hell, Goodman even sent a tweet out saying, and it's funny. Anyways, I won't go down that road. But what Bodie was saying was, like, you know, this is one of those games you watch it and you walk away thinking the team that lost is actually the better team. And on a neutral site, I agree with him. I really do.
We beat them at the better team, but
well, I'll say this: if we're on all cylinders, I think we are, because we beat them at eight, or we beat them by eight. Excuse me, at home without Shannon and with McCullers banged up. You basically do the same thing, because both guys didn't have their best game on the road. Double OT, you know, if we get those two dudes going and you're playing well, it's close. But I think neutral side, I think Tech could. I mean,
be the better team.
Because
of the best teams in the country.
Oh, easily. But I mean, you saw what they did. Obagi's got to go off. Hell, the rest of that team. I mean, I talked about this with R.C. Maxfield on his Twitter space after the game. Uh-huh. He was going through the impressive. R.C., shout out. What's up, man? I got to ask R.C. because he was getting so passionate and animated. It kind of reminded me of us after we go out to a bar and try to record. And I was like, dude, let me know how many hottie toddies you had. Because, like, I love the energy and I love the passion. And he was just laying down some fire content. But long story short, sounds like we need to have a couple beers with him and record a basketball ep preview or recap. Where was I going with that? Oh, yeah. So, you know, he was talking about reading through their rest of their players and their stat line. No one else really did much besides Obagi. I mean, Remy had it going on at some junctures of the game, but didn't have an overall impressive stat line. We locked them, besides one guy, I mean, we locked them the hell up.
Yeah.
And Tech's got some things to work through, too, but I don't know. On a neutral side, I'm going to give Tech the benefit of the doubt. I think we very well could be the better team. Just lost a total on the road. Key takeaways here, guys. The fact that McCullers had his worst game of the season, and look, this isn't a major dig on McCullers. I feel like there's a lot of fans kind of really adamant about maybe he should see less minutes, yada, yada, all this. Like, dude, everybody has bad games. I mean, there's no reason to overreact here. McCullers gives you – I mean, he's glue guy. All around, he plays good defense. He can rebound. I am going to get into a thing that I'd like to talk about, you know, all this – the negativity towards McCullers, what I think he can do differently that will kind of help elevate his game. But overall – the guy is a baller. He brings a lot to the table. He's a stretch guard. You know, he gets assists. He can create somewhat. And he just had a bad night. He had an off night in the fog. I mean, it happens. It
wasn't his night.
It happens to people. And then also Shannon, you know, wasn't able to generate much on offense either. But the fact that, you know, those two guys, two of your best players, arguably, I think they were like two or three of 18, something. I can't remember the exact stat, but it was very – I mean, it was bad. It was three of 20 or something like that. And you took them to double OT – says a lot about
this team. Says how deep your team is.
Question to you guys. Do you foul up three before the second overtime?
I don't like fouling being up three. I never have been.
Yeah. Nick? Yeah.
In hindsight, yes. However, there's been a lot of games this year where we have clamped down on the last possession of the game and they got shots off and missed. So I don't hate it by Mark Adams here to let it play out. But, yeah, in hindsight, yeah, you foul him.
You also have to consider you're not a very good free throw shooting team. You foul, they make two, they foul, and they get the ball back. We haven't proven ourselves being good free throw shooting.
Well, especially if you don't get it to the right guy either, which we saw some struggles of.
However, I would like to say, though, that, you know, as that defensive possession went on for Tech, the clock was winding down. If you foul him, if you foul somebody, you know, not in the shooting motion for three, but if you foul somebody prior, like, you know, 2-3 seconds left, you probably win the game.
I agree. And here's my take on it after kind of looking back. And the only reason I feel comfortable saying this is because Mark Adams is so meticulous. I mean, you can tell on his scouting, they know how many times this guy goes left versus right. I mean, he is a you know, very detailed and thorough coach when it comes to scouting and X's and O's. And so this is the only reason I feel confident. I mean, with like a Chris Beard or something, no way. Like, you're never going to think this deep. But out of a timeout, which I believe it was out of a timeout, my thought process is generally with the lane of don't foul. If it's anyone else, and we were playing great defense, winding the clock down, if Obagi even somehow touches the ball, I think you foul him.
Yeah, I agree. But he got the ball and it was pretty tough. Much a catch and shoot. I mean, he got it and shot it immediately. So I don't think there was a chance really to foul him.
Yeah, it was tough, man. And
he just made a big shot.
It was a big shot, but I would have liked to. I don't know how you do it, if you got a switch on him or what. But to me, I looked at it as the minute the ball is heading towards him, you are running to foul before he can even sniff getting a shot up.
Yeah, but you think
foul him on the ground, or hell, maybe even foul him before he gets over there.
Regulation, we did, and Bacho ended up the one that switched on him, and I mean,
he almost made that shot,
but Bacho was the difference. He had to force it up over Bacho.
Yeah, which and, this McCullough just tried to get over on him and couldn't do it. I don't know. I used to not be that way, but we've gotten burned by it in the national championship, and now we've gotten burned here. I'm starting to become a believer, actually, man. I have to say, like, it's two times now we've seen it unfold. I think I forgot Nick's watching game film right here. I think Lane does bring up a valid point that I hadn't thought about, of you got to have the free throw shooters. And in the national championship,
we did have the best free throw shooter.
We had the guy to do it. Maybe not. But and then to Nick's point as well, as you look at the clock and you see it get down to 3 to 4 seconds, then maybe you foul, because by the time, I mean, the best look that they're going to get going back is probably going to be a half quarter to full quarter. And if they make that, you just take it for what it is, man. There's nothing you can do.
Yeah, but here's the thing that just always scares me, which tough. Is it doesn't really happen often. It's just getting burned on trying to foul someone, and they're able to make it look like a shot.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, for me, if I'm Adams, I'm saying maybe even if he looks like you foul him either before he even gets it, or like you make damn sure he doesn't get the ball off. Yeah.
Or get the ball. You foul him off ball.
To me, Obagi should not even have had a chance to shoot a three.
I agree.
There.
I think McCullough should have probably had his butt to the ball.
Like face denying.
Face denying.
I agree. Yeah. So that's technical, but in that situation, you can't let Obagi even get like a look, in my opinion. Anyways.
I mean, it was a great shot.
Oh, shit. It was a fadeaway. I mean, it was a fadeaway hand in his face. And actually, that lane just transitioned well to my next point.
I mean,
point.
He's got 37 points.
Obagi just...
When that ball left his hands, I knew it was going in.
He's easy front-runner candidate for National Player of the Year. Maybe one of the bigs from Gonzaga. But what Obagi's doing is absolutely incredible. I do want to credit Tech's defense. Again, the rest of the Kansas players didn't have that great of a game. You go down their stat line, they say Brown. I always thought it was Braun.
He's a stat filler.
But Brown didn't have a great
game.
Didn't
have his best night, but he did some other things.
I'm blanking on some of their names. But the big guy, I mean, they had a little bit here and there.
McCormick. I mean, how about the freshman from Austin having a big night for them?
What's his name?
He's number 24.
KJ Adams.
KJ Adams. Yeah, he did. He had a good one. But overall, held him in check to an extent. And then, actually, I'm going to get into this in the negatives about Remy, because I think we saw the recipe for how you can really attack Texas Tech's, you know, five versatile switch everything defense.
Little guards that are quick.
My last little point on McCullough here. There's a lot of negativity about McCullough, which is unwarranted, and in the hot takes we can even get to all this bullshit about sending players death threats. I mean, if you're at that low of a point in your life, then, like, don't watch sports and go get help. That's unacceptable. But what can McCullough do differently? And I want to get y'all's feedback on it. I think that McCullough's problem right now is he's taking a lot of mid-range shots and his field goal percentage is low. I saw, I think it was Emery Lido with the Locked On Texas Tech podcast tweeted out he's 20, I think on the year he's like 29 or 8 or so. It was either 20% in conference play or total, and then 29 in conference play or total. Those two, one way or another, below 30% from mid-range. McCullough's offensive game to me, I mean, he can create, he can get guys open, and he does knock down critical shots. Look at Baylor. Dude hit one of the biggest threes of the game. For me, it can't be in volume. I don't think McCullough's ever going to be like that Keenan Evans. Jarius Ramsey.
Dropped 30.
Yeah, that's not his game, man. Shannon can be that guy. Bryson Williams can be that guy.
McCullough's more of a stat filler across the board.
Exactly. And that's my – I mean, what was he labeled last year? Glue guy. He's glue guy. He plays lockdown, hard-nosed defense. I think he's actually better off ball. I think he's – when he's not running the point and you can get it to him at the top of the key or short corner and he can be more off ball, that's where he's more effective. He's unfortunately, he's having to step into a more point guard-esque role because of our the personnel on our team. But if I'm McCullough, if I'm Adams and we're looking at it, maybe just not in volume. Don't force it. Force up shots. What do y'all – I mean, kind of what's y'all's take or opinion on that?
Yeah, I think he's still developing. He is only a junior, so we're going to have him one more year unless he somehow leaves.
Don't leave us.
But, I mean, yeah, he is better off the ball. He's a good slasher. You know, get him right in the top of the key, pass it, go around, set a screen, slash to the basket, and get a quick layup. I think that's where his strength is.
Pal right in the kisser, man. I agree.
He's definitely not – the guy who's just a go-off kind of guy. And those – the guys who are scoring, the Keenan Evan types, are guys who just create something for themselves that can make incredible shots.
And they're – I mean, you just got guys like the Andre Emmitts of the world that
can do it. It's just a natural –
the late great. Yeah, I mean, it's – they have that natural ability just to score the basketball.
And McCullers is more of, off-ball guy. But I do think his jumper is kind of his bread and butter.
I agree. I just don't want to see him take it
– in bad rhythm.
A lot, yeah. Like get it – wide open, and if you're off that night, like he was against Kansas, let's get it to someone else, and kind of move it around. But everyone relax. Dude, McCullough is definitely a guy who needs to be playing a ton of minutes.
Yeah.
He brings so much to the table all around. He had a bad game. And my – again, that's my opinion, is maybe the biggest thing he can do to kind of correct and help alleviate some of the issues is just don't try to score in volume. Don't be that guy that tries to score in volume.
Yeah,
that's
and
it.
One other point I want to make – on his minutes, right? There was two guys on this team that had 40-plus minute games. Obviously, we had double OT. One was Bryson Williams. You can't take him out of the ball game when he's putting up 33 points.
That get in the most hands minutes are still on fire.
Most minutes you possibly can. You didn't miss from three.
That was really fun to watch.
And then Kevin McCullough. Kevin McCullough had 44 minutes in this game. You think Mark Adams does not trust him to go out, even if he's having the worst game of his career possibly at Tech? He's still getting the most minutes on this team. He is a vital point and a vital player for this Texas Tech team down
the
stretch.
And will be for the rest of the season. That's not going to change.
Yeah. As Shaggy says in Scooby-Doo, like, he's the banana split in the middle of the ice cream. What's that shit? What's that called where you have, like, three different ice creams?
Banana split. Neapolitan?
What the hell? No, it's
what? Dude, why are you looking at me like that was weird?
It's the Neapolitan banana split.
I don't know what the hell y'all are talking about. A banana split is banana with chocolate and ice cream on it, right?
No, well, and you got a banana in there. I was kind of intoxicated watching Scooby-Doo the other day with Catherine, and I'm trying to remember what he says. He's like, Daphne is the nice, like, or no, Fred's the banana in the middle. That is Kevin McCullough, okay? He's the Fred of our,
he's
like,
glue guy.
Of our mystery gang, okay? He's in the middle, and then you got, like, Bacho's the strawberry ice cream. Adams is the nice little cherry on top, and Shannon is the hot fudge that goes on the whole thing. All right, so like when you break down Texas Tech basketball as a banana split, Kevin McCullough is your base. Okay,
where the hell do you put Williams? Because watching him play against Kansas was the most fun I've had in a while. Because he literally, if he got the ball,
he's scoring,
and there was only one guy guarding him, he was going to score, no doubt. It was automatic.
He's the nuts on top because he's got big old balls.
Hey, dude.
Goes into the fog and puts up 33.
Those things were dragging.
He does that consistently. He did it last year at UTEP.
Dude, he was. Let's just say he was dragging them in the fog. And I'm going to go back and watch that clip because Shaggy also says something hilarious. I can't remember. Classic Shaggy, right? So, anyways, moving on here. We got the Neapolitan.
The Neapolitan.
Nick, explain yourself on this Neapolitan.
Is that weird ice cream where you get like, it's like red, brown, and it's
yeah, it's chocolate, strawberry, vanilla, like all in a row.
Wait, now Tyler likey that. That sounds like something I could get
it's
into.
It's a common ice cream people eat. I don't eat it, but.
And it's called a Neapolitan.
Neapolitan, yes.
I thought it was called Napoleon.
Nadolny Neapolitan. He is the Neo.
To the Politan.
Oh man, this episode's gotten way out of hand on the everything.
Oh, it looks like I had to delete YouTube to clear storage.
You need to get the iPhone 13 Pro Max because that's not a problem on the Pro Max.
God. Wow. Okay. Well, anyways, when you guys get riffing later, I'm going to go find that scene. Couple quick negatives to run through. Lane touched on earlier. If you're going to win those Elite Eight Final Four games against the best teams in the country, you got to make free throws.
We
man.
Saw it with the team that did make the run. They made free throws down the stretch.
You got to make free throws. And we missed a couple big ones that could have, excuse me, caffeine sparkle.
And honestly, to that point, though, I will say so did Kansas. Yeah. They were also choking from the line.
Yeah, they did. They gave us a chance. You
know, Abaji, I think Brown missed one.
Yeah, they gave us a chance, and that was huge. And then we gave a chance right back. You give a little, and you take a little in that game. That's a negative. Offense still looks lost at times to me, man. When they started doubling Williams, we became complacent. We settled for threes that were kind of out of rhythm and didn't really look good, you know, look solid. I, I'm not in the huddle. I'm not sure what Adams is drawing up, but like even when they were doubling, there were times when Williams would, we talked about this pre-pod, would kind of get an opening and we still wouldn't give it to him, which I don't understand why we weren't able to do that where it wasn't forced. And then even when they started bringing the double, Williams is a kind of player. He's capable of making passes out of the double to open guys.
Gotta have cutters. Should have
went through Williams a little more. I mean, he hit a wide open Kevin McCullough for a three that he didn't make, but you know, needed to do that. And then other guys, we just sort of really fell apart. Besides Williams scoring every time he touched the ball, we kind of fell apart offensively. We lost our rhythm and we got complacent. We settled for threes.
And you know who kept us? This is a positive that we didn't touch on, but I think he deserves a shout out. Is definitely O'Banner.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
That guy is he's a workhorse. He'll make shots. He'll get dirty down low, get big offensive rebounds. He kept us in the game down the stretch when Williams wasn't touching the ball.
It was O'Banner.
It was O'Banner who stepped up and kept us in the game.
Yeah, one negative I will say is we got out-rebounded in this game. And this is a straight-up stat read for me. 38 rebounds to Kansas's 50. You know, I feel like we could have done a better job rebounding in this game. They had 16 offensive rebounds, Kansas did. And that's, you know, opportunity for second-chance points. And, you know, when points came at a premium in this game, we could have used some defensive rebounds in that.
Absolutely.
And that's where I think Bacho's got to see more minutes. He's the guy.
Yeah.
Because Williams struggles a little bit on the glass, but I mean, you got to leave Williams in there because he's going to drop 30 for you. But
yeah.
Bacho's the guy, or Santos Silva has to step up and do it.
Shout out to our front court in this game. They played extremely well. I mean, Marco Santos Silva had a great game. I mean, he played well. He was banging early, getting boards. He also made some shots. He was getting some good dishes from the high-low.
Two steals.
Santos Silva played well. Bryson Williams, I mean, say less. Like, there's nothing else really going on there. And then Bacho got in there and had an and-one. Yeah, he played well. So
just got to hammer the glass.
And this is something that Tech teams in the past have struggled with. I mean, we have a really dominant front court right now, which is a recipe for a deep run. Remy showcased how, and this is my last negative, he kind of showcased how you can get a leg up on Tech's D. If you're quick, really quick off the switches and look to attack, we saw him. He got it thrown off the glass like once or twice whenever we recovered, but he also got to the rim and got some open layups and some kicks for wide open threes.
It just breaks down the defense and you go into scramble mode.
He got it. He got some kicks to some wide open threes for Abaji and anyways. It's tough to find guys like Remy out there that are quick enough to make it happen, but it's just something to monitor is that that's kind of the only way you can really expose this elite, you know, unbreakable Texas Tech defense is if you have that guard, that shifty, quick guard who can switch off on an MSS or something and, you know, make a move and get by him.
Get by him and break down the defense and then also make the right decision, though, on what to do after that, whether it's go attack and try to score or kick for, you know, an open shot. If you have a guard good enough, and Remy's, you know, he's a top-tier guard in the country.
He's a stud. That's all I have, man. We're not going to, you know, dwell on it. I want to look to the Big 12 SEC matchup coming up. And before I do that, actually, I don't know if we should get this on the speaker or if this will be loud enough. But here, I'll just play it. We'll see if this works.
What's your ascot?
Hey, you guys, look. I know I'm just the dude that carries the bags, but it seems to me we all play an important part in this group. I mean, we're just like a big, delicious banana split. Fred, you're the big banana. Daphne, you're the pastrami and bubblegum flavored ice cream. And Velma, you're the sweet and sour mustard sauce that goes on top.
That's the joke I was trying to make.
That sounds pretty good.
All I know is who is Shaggy, though. Who's the guy just carrying the bags?
I was going to say Kevin McCullough is the sweet and sour mustard. That's what I was trying to remember. The sweet and sour mustard sauce that goes on top. Put a little mustard on it. That's Kevin McCullough.
I don't know who the hell Shaggy is.
Why are you watching Scooby-Doo?
Dude, it's
in your off time.
It's a great movie, man. Have you not seen it?
Which one? It was one of my favorite movies when I was a kid.
I highly recommend
where
it.
Where they go to the island.
Spooky Island.
They do the dance. Yeah.
I know it. I mean, you got to do the creature dance.
Another underrated movie, real quick, Cat in the Hat.
Oh, yeah. Great movie.
I mean, do y'all want this to be a 2-hour long episode? Because
no,
we can really
on.
Get into some Cat
Son
in the Hat.
Son of.
I can't believe you whizzed on my tacos. Oh, dude. Just also some like pretty big name actors and actresses in there.
Yeah.
All right. This is a movie podcast sometimes, not right now. Our part two of this kind of main conversation. Big 12 SEC showdown. Another battle with the Bulldogs. We already whooped their ass in football, and we're looking to do the same. This is probably a good real moment.
Hold on.
Another battle with the Bulldogs. We already whooped their ass in football, and we're looking to do the same, repeat that success in basketball. This is, the second time they've met on the hardwood. Tech owning in 2015 beat them in a tournament, I believe. So we're 2-0 against the Bulldogs. This is in the Big 12 SEC Classic. So, look, it's going to be rocking. Everyone loves this challenge on a Saturday in Lubbock. I'm really glad it's at home, and we're ready to break it down, man. It's going to be good. Let's talk about, a little bit about the Big 12 SEC Challenge. Tech is 5-3 all-time in this challenge after earning the 76-71 win over LSU last season, which I was at that game in Baton Rouge. I was there in BR. Let me tell you, Mac went off, dude. Shout out to Talking Tech as well. Me and Steven went out that night and had some beers and some laughs, and just really excited for what was an amazing comeback win. We're again, like I said, 2-0 against Mississippi State in program history, and we'll be hosting them, which is a good thing because this team is solid. The ninth annual event will consist of 10 games. Y'all know the format across the Big 12, the SEC. I believe the Big 12 owns the challenge. Oh, there it is. The Big 12 team owns the challenge 44-35. As far as past games go, the overall record, it's really, really solid, and it's just a lot of fun. So when I say solid, I mean we consistently beat. I think they've only beaten us as far as the actual thing goes, once or twice. We usually scrape it out with 6 wins in the actual competition. The SEC, I know they won it a couple years back off a big upset against West Virginia. I can't remember who that was. But other than that, I mean, we usually own it, man. I mean, we have a yearly challenge record of 4-2-2 with wins in 2014, 2015, 16, and 19. So, I mean, they usually get it done in this challenge.
I mean, the only team I could really see losing this challenge this year is UT.
Yeah, and I mean, of course, that's the one Big 12 team
it's because they're not very good.
That's the one Big 12 team we're not going to be rooting for. Mississippi State guys are coming off an 18-15 overall record last season. They're solid as hell this year. At least let's not forget they went to the NIT championship last year, which is glorified second best tourney postseason, right? So I mean it's solid outing for them. I think they improved upon last year's success. They're growing. They're maturing. They've had some transfers come in, and it's going to be a tough matchup. Guys, initial thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I mean, Mississippi State coming into Lubbock for it. I'm glad it's a home game. They're sitting fourth in the SEC right now with a 4-3 record in SEC play. They're tied with three other teams in that fourth spot. Some people say they might even be considered the sixth place team in this SEC conference right now.
Come on.
And, I mean, yeah, they beat a decent Alabama team who was ranked at the time. Mm-hmm. I think they lost to Ole Miss at home.
I know they did.
They lost to Ole Miss at home.
They beat Arkansas on the road, I'm pretty sure.
This team's very up and down, very scrappy, but they do play for the big games.
They do.
Was my point. The big games, they really show out and they really come to play. So this is going to be one to circle and watch for them, because they're going to be playing top 15 team in Texas Tech on the road. So I have a feeling they're going to come out and give us their best shot.
Yeah.
But I think we're the better team.
And I'll tell you this. I must have had me about, three whiskey sours last night. I had a little meeting, which we're going to plug at the end here, for an event coming up with the Houston Texas Tech Alumni Association, and had me a couple mixies, had a good time. But I had a buzzed breakdown going on. I was watching the Kentucky-Mississippi State game, and let me just tell you, this team is dangerous, man. I'm really glad we're playing them at home. I think if this was on the road, it'd be that much, scarier. And this is going to be somewhat of a hot take, but just in my opinion, I think losing to Kansas might have been a good thing and kind of a blessing in disguise when it comes to this game, because otherwise it would be a textbook trap game, in my opinion. You're riding high off of a win at the Fog, if that were to have happened. Yet you're looking ahead to Texas at home, biggest game in Texas Tech basketball home history, biggest game at the USA really ever to be played, just because of the implications of it.
I mean, tickets are selling for thousands of dollars.
Yeah, this is unbelievable. This would have been a textbook trap game had we beat Kansas. And now you have both teams coming off overtime losses on the road at two blue bloods in Kentucky and Kansas. I expect both these teams to be fired up, but I can guarantee you Mississippi State's going to get Texas Tech's best shot, because they are piping hot and want to get that bad taste of the double overtime loss out of their mouth. So, again, it could have been a trap game. I think this is going to be a good showdown.
And rumor has it, Williams' hands are literally still on fire. He still can't – he hasn't missed a shot since leaving the Fog yet.
Just torched the – I mean, honestly, I wish we could play every game in the Fog, because that guy is going to drop over 30-plus. Let's talk about some key players, guys. Anyone y'all got?
Yeah, easy enough. You got to look at their leading scorer and
old Molinar, huh?
That's right. The second leading scorer in the SEC by 0.2 points. So he's basically leading the SEC in points per game. It's Iverson Molinar, their guard. He's a stud. He will light it up each and every game that he goes out there. And this is a guy that we need to stop. We need to clamp down and maybe even face guard at times, because this guy is going to be a problem.
Texas Tech has got 99 problems, and one of them is Iverson Molinar. Iverson Molinar, dude. Hey, note to self, we finally gotten to it. My ending critique: never again will I have one of these godforsaken sparkling waters with caffeine.
Is that bad? Now is your heart, your pulse is skyrocketing?
My pulse is skyrocketing. I'm sweating. I got the heat rash going now. I don't know what's happening. But no, also it's just really not good, and
it's bubbly.
It's bubbly and I don't like it. It's tacky and I hate it. So, moving on from that, but I had to throw that out there. Nick's absolutely right. Guy is averaging 18.4 points a game, almost the leading scorer in the SEC, which is not as good as the Big 12, but a pretty competitive basketball conference. His field goal percentage is 40. He's shooting 49.8. Anyone who's played the game will tell you that's
a high percentage.
Really, really good. Tech is going to have to absolutely mark him up and key in on him. I expect TJ Shannon or Kevin McCullough to be guarding him I know they're going to be switching off on him, but mark my words and guarantee, no pun intended, that Mark Adams, what am I trying to say here? Leave no doubt that Mark Adams, will have a game plan for, he's going to have a little something in his back pocket, in his bag of tricks for Iverson Molinar. Leave no doubt about that. Tulu Smith, he's been out. He's honestly been battling injury. I'm going to assume that because he's only played in half their
games.
Yeah, but he's a big form, 6'11", can really get it going if you let him, averaging 13.1 a game. His field goal percentage is 61.9. He likes to slash. He likes to get it down low. He can finish down low. He's a weapon and a threat. We cannot let him get going inside.
He did play in that last game against Ole Miss on Saturday. So
he played
against
Kentucky.
I believe he played against Kentucky as well, Ole Miss and Kentucky. Because he's been, coming on late.
I don't know. It looks like, and this is just pulling up his ESPN profile, his last game was against Ole Miss last Saturday. So I don't know why he didn't play in the Kentucky game. Maybe COVID, maybe grades. I don't know. But, yeah, he didn't play.
Yeah.
He's their size for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Another guy to watch out for.
He's the sweet mustard relish that goes on top.
And I will get this one guy in because he's someone to watch out for from beyond the arc. We have to guard his Shaquille Moore. He's their highest 3-point percentage shooter. He's shooting close to 40%, which is pretty damn good.
Another key transfer for them.
Yeah, so we got to make sure to, whenever they collapse the defense, close out well on that guy.
God, what am I doing not getting reels of y'all here? So he would be the nice pastrami and...
yeah, he's the Daphne.
The pastrami and strawberry that goes on the banana split. And who was the other?
I mean, what Shaggy was saying did not sound anything like a banana split, to be honest.
It sounded like a Neapolitan.
It sounded something. He said something about salami, I think, at some point.
The nice pastrami, and then Tulu Smith is the nice mustard relish that goes on top. I don't know. Shaggy's out of his mind, dude. Also, probably quite literally baked out of his mind.
He was. I mean, yeah. He sees ghosts.
That was a little subtle things they put in there for the older audience when it came to Scooby Dooby Doo. All right, what does Tech have to do to win this game, guys? We really need to get some offense from somebody who's not named Bryson Williams, whether that be Kevin O'Banner, who is very capable.
Yeah.
TJ Shannon, who's very capable. I mean, we saw Shannon ice the game against West Virginia. Hit a couple big threes, got it going to the rim. We need another, I won't say secondary because Shannon was actually, I believe, the leading scorer against West Virginia. We need two guys to have it going, man. We can't just have a one primary scorer. If it's Shannon the primary scorer or if it's Bryson Williams, somebody else, or at least by committee, we got to have other guys scoring the ball. We can't get lackadaisical on offense. Got to get in a rhythm.
Yeah, you got to get in a rhythm, and you got to get it out of the offense. We can't just rely on going ISO, either whether that be Shannon, you know, at the top of the key, or go to Williams, which he's good in an ISO situation, but when they double him, you're going to have to get something else going. You got to get stuff out of the offense.
Absolutely. Other keys to the game.
Yeah, key to the game for me, this Mississippi State defense plays a heavy man-to-man defense. So they're going to concentrate on the ball handlers on the perimeter. They're going to concentrate on the guards and give up points in the paint. That's actually what they're kind of known for this season so far. And so what does that play into? Texas Tech's offense. And so get the ball into the paint. Continue with the hot hand of getting the ball to Bryson Williams. O'Banner's been grinding down there in the paint as well. Look for Bacho to have a big game too if he gets the minutes. I think he could have a really good success, especially if Tolu Smith, as you just discussed, the 6'11 guy for Mississippi State, isn't playing in this game. We are going to have the size advantage. We're going to have the athleticism advantage. Get the ball into the paint. Don't rely on jacking up three-pointers, and we will win this game handily.
Man, I almost ran out of real space on that one. Very, very good breakdown from Nick. And luckily, I deleted YouTube to clear out some storage, and it looks like it's attempting a save, and we got
security.
It, baby.
Secure the bag.
We got it. Lame, you got anything else that I can reel?
I got a real doozy for you guys on this one, all right, for the breakdown, all right? If we rebound and make free throws, we're going to win this game, okay? Our defense is going to be there. You know that. If we can hammer the glass and rebound and make free throws, we're going to win this game.
Lane, I couldn't have said it better myself, dude. One of my big points, this team rebounds, and this is actually – to Mississippi State's credit, they rebound very well, and especially offensively. They're good at getting offensive boards. Tech, Nick talked about it against Kansas, lost the rebound battle.
Yeah.
Have to keep them off the glass. Again, Mississippi State can rebound well offensively. Let's not let them do it. Another point I want to make, don't let them play inside out. They want to get it down to their bigs. They want to get it into the post and force you to, you know, play down, get down on them, and then they play inside out, get it out, take shots. Let's force them, you know, rack up turnovers. Tech is one of the best when it comes to forcing turnovers, playing lights out defense. Rack up turnovers, get them flustered, and force them to take outside shots. Hell, force them to settle for jumpers. Do not let Tulu Smith get going down low, or their other big, whose name escapes me, get it going down low. Force them, make them play outside in, and Mark Adams will be ready for it. Do not let them camp out down low and start getting going down
there. Yeah, I think that other big you're thinking of is the UNC transfer, Garrison, Garrison Brooks.
Yes.
He's the guy that's going to step up for them in the front court with Smith being out possibly.
And they want to slash. They want to feed their bigs. I watched them do it, and they have the guards to do it as well against Kentucky. They want to get it down low. If you force them into a mid-range three-point shooting contest, you're going to be fine and you're going to win this game. Tech's defense is thank God we have a good one, because – Mississippi State can score, and if they get hot at the right time, they can make you pay. So let's make them settle for jumpers. Again, do not let them play inside out. Force them out of the lane.
Yeah, I got one more key kind of really for this game and the rest of the season with our offense being how it has been, struggled at times, is let our defense create offense for us. Get turnovers. We love turning turning teams over, forcing them into turnovers. Let that push out into transition. Let that create some offense for you, because we got guys that can go in transition with TJ Shannon, McCullers. All those guys can play in transition. Let your turnovers turn into offense for you.
Love it. All right, guys, that's it, man. Get ready for the Big 12 SEC Challenge. Big 12's dominated it overall in the past, usually winning 6-4, whatever the it's pretty tight disparity, but we usually get the trophy when it's all said and done. Tech 5-3 all time in this challenge.
Big contributors,
and we represent well for the Big 12. So it's going to be a showdown battle with the Bulldogs. Nick tweeted out earlier, we got a fun little kind of rivalry thing going with them. We played them in baseball, played them in football, and now we complete the cycle playing them in basketball. It's going to be a close game. I believe this is going to be just like when we played Arkansas and Kentucky. And these games, for whatever reason, they're close. Always close. Before I hear Nick queuing it up, we had a couple questions I was going to do for the Hot Takes with Laney Cake segment.
I'm back.
He's back. I will say, finally, we won't go around for a whole score prediction, but I think Texas Tech can pull it out. Hot Takes with Laney Cakes, answering some Twitter questions, coming to you right now.
Sometimes I had too many beers, which I gladly do, and which I fully embrace. Automatic. Still is. I liked beer. I still like beer. Automatic. Still is. But I did not drink beer to the point of blacking out. When I was in town, I spent much of my time working out, lifting weights. Too many beers. Automatic. Still is. Sometimes I had too many beers, which I gladly do and which I fully embrace. Working out, automatic. Blacking out, automatic. Catholic all-girls schools, automatic. Still is.
We're going to start off hot and read down here. I know for time's sake, we can get through these somewhat, try to get through them somewhat quickly. Should Adams, start from the top. Should Adams have benched McCullers late in the game when it was apparent he was a net liability, or is one game not worth the risk of the potential loss of confidence going forward? That's a good question. As this was simply an off game. I think we addressed it earlier.
We did.
You can't.
Yes. No. I think you take him out in that situation. I don't think it's going to hurt his confidence. He's a star for us, man. It wasn't his night. You tell him that. You sit him down. Yeah. You say, hey, look, it's not your night. We're going to go with arms. We're going to go with somebody else who can get it done. I don't know who it is. Yeah. Warren fouled out, but. Yeah, I think you do in that situation. I mean, he made a couple key turnovers. I think you pull him and you say, hey, it's not your night. You'll get him next time.
Yeah.
And that's my opinion. I mean, I don't know. I'm not a coach, though.
Or at least tell him, hey, I need you out there for your D. I need you out there.
Yeah, get it out of his hands.
But let's not take any more shots. It's hard to tell a guy.
You can't tell him not take any more shots, but I think you take him out of the game.
I think you at least tell him, hey, man, let's get the ball around. If you're going to leave him in, like, let's focus on what you are doing well. Try to play some D and do that. That's a good point.
With
I was going to say
his confidence. I don't think it hurts his confidence. Yeah. And two, I mean, as a player, you got to know you're not playing very well. If anything, it motivates him in the next game.
It's tough. I mean, that's kind of a tough question. I don't know. Because McCullers at the end of the game, he's just the kind of guy that can always he's good enough to hit a big shot. I mean, like I know Banner did at the end, he can possibly do it. And I still think he gives you enough on defense and other aspects to where it can go 50-50. I don't know. I mean,
great conflicting answers.
Yeah, it's a dealer's choice, and Adams decided to play him. But, no, that is a really good question, and everybody has off games, so it's just kind of a dealer's choice. Nick, I'll throw this next one to you. Okay, we've got our boy Tanner. Shout out. He says, whose takes are hotter, Stephen A. or Lane?
That was a meatball.
I think Stephen A's might be hotter, but I think Lane's are better.
There you go. He might get more animated with his takes, but my takes are more relevant and more smarter.
Yeah. No, they're more smarter.
they're more relevant
and they're
more smarter.
Yeah. No, they're more intellectual, man. I mean, they're better answers. Perfectly said, Lane. I mean, you couldn't encapsulate it better than that. No, he goes, no, but seriously. Is it fair to say that Shannon and McCullers aren't our best players anymore? And is it too early to say Williams or Arms is the best player on this squad so far? Real quick answer for me. I think the only I still believe Shannon at his peak when he's playing his best all around ball is your best player, and McCullers up there as well. He's a, you know, a great player for you. Now, if you want to have the conversation about who's your best offensive player,
it's Williams.
I think it's Bryson Williams.
Yeah, absolutely. That's,
if you're looking at just the offensive capabilities and ability to score the basketball, then I think your best player is Bryson Williams. Overall, all around, it's still T.J. Shannon.
It's still T.J. He's still the best defender we have. Arguably McCullers, though. He's a great defender. Didn't have a great night in Kansas, but he's still a great defender. Williams, best offensive player, but Shannon and McCullers overall,
yeah,
by far.
Neapolitan Nick, anything on that one?
No, I like it.
He likes it.
Sorry, I was posting the Drew Steph. He just committed live.
Tyler Leike.
Just wanted to post on our socials.
Nick's always working, even when you don't think he's working. Should we expect O'Banner to start knocking down some more threes? In my opinion, when O'Banner starts hitting threes, it will open up the lane more. It will open the lane more open for. It'll open up the lane for Shannon.
It'll open up the lane for people to penetrate.
Great question from our boy Josh. Joshua, thank you for that, man. When O'Banner, starts hitting threes, it will open up the lane more for Shannon and K-Mac. Sorry, I didn't do my Hooked on Phonics earlier, and I barely got out of Texas Tech with the ability to read English, the English language. Yeah, O'Banner, I mean, okay, the guy clearly, he's got the green light still. So, I mean.
He had a big one.
I think that tells you. Last night. That just tells you Adams is like, when he's on, he's going to be on.
Yeah.
And sometimes you got to shoot your way out of a slump. That's the only way to do it. O'Banner also has really impressed me in his ability this year, not just to focus on threes, but he boards and his ability to score. He's arguably our most clutch player.
Yeah, no, I think he's in every close game or in every, you know, big game we've had, that Iowa State game, I mean, he came up huge. I mean, Kansas game last night, he came up huge. I mean, he finds ways, even when his three's not going in.
To contribute.
He finds ways to contribute. He gets offensive rebounds. He finds ways to score other than the three. So I think he's still playing well. I'm still waiting for his three-point shot, though, to really come, because then he's going to be.
If that start falling.
Then he's going to be really good.
Look out below if that starts falling. Nick. You want him shooting threes or no?
Yeah, absolutely. I love O'Banner. You know, during the beginning part of the season, he was a corner three guy only. He's been, you know, working his way around the arch, and he's not hitting them. So, you know, I think he's done a really good job of adjusting and playing to the strengths of what is needed at the time of him. But I think his time will come, and it'll come in the tourney.
Yeah, sure. I think he's a shooter, and I think he's going to shoot himself out of it and really get it going.
Next question. Someone has one about TJ, says quit shooting them ridiculous threes and go to the rack. I will say for Shannon,
get it out of the offense.
Well, he's the kind of guy that you know, he can hit threes for you. Hell, we saw him hit some major ones at the end of the West Virginia game. Let it come a little more natural. That's my only kind of emphasis on that for Shannon. He's a scorer. He's the kind of guy that can be a dynamic scorer, slashing, shooting threes, mid-range, and one, do it all, right? In that game against Kansas, I think there were some forced ones, and that's what fans were upset about is, dude, you're at the end of the – well, I won't even go down that road real quick about OT. Go to the basket, man.
Yeah,
you got
at the
7
end of the
seconds.
Day, get – let your game – that's the best part of your game show, which is you going to the rack, slashing.
And if you get an open three,
When they start backing off of you, they start – you know, they can't contain you going to the basket, that's when you hit them with the deep ball.
With the NBA step backs, like, if you're feeling it, okay, but, like, let's try to get it out of the offense a little more.
Yeah, no, he's been doing this all season. Look back to the Providence game. He hit a deep three to bring us back into that game. Next possession same exact spot.
Air ball.
And it was, it probably was an air ball. Lane's right. And so he's, my best take on it, and I texted y'all this after that Kansas game, is he came back to Tech for one reason, to improve his draft stock.
Yeah.
And I think he's pressing a little bit. I think he had a few bad games coming off his injury. He hasn't played much because of that injury. And he's pressing to make himself look good, show that he has developed a shot, which obviously, you know, you're jacking up threes. It's not going to show anything.
It's so, got to be. I mean,
get it out of the offense.
He can do it. Just get it out of the offense. Let it come a little more naturally.
Right.
Because, I mean, he does bring – he's your best player. I mean, he plays lights out D. He locked up that Iowa State dude at the end. He locked up Abaji at the end. TJ Shannon is – and he's still on the mend. I think he's still kind of
getting
it
healthy.
Back.
He's still,
Just get it out. Get it out of the. You know, let's try to get it out of the offense. Is Adonis Arms injured? If not, what is the reason for his absence during critical points in the game? I think this was purely an Adams call in this one, because I went back and looked, because I had the same question, reservations at the end of that game, and I went back and watched, and he had some major defensive lapses in this one that I think Adams couldn't risk it anymore. And then he had a couple turnovers. So to me, it was just a judgment call. Maybe he wasn't having his best game either. I would expect Adonis Arms moving forward to continue to get good minutes, to continue to play in critical situations. Guys, we have such a deep team. A lot of these games, I think Adams is just going to feel it out and say who's playing the best right now.
Yeah.
In my opinion, Warren was playing better in that juncture, and he got fouled out. Then you go into, is it Wilson? Is it, we're deep. I don't know. But I don't think he was injured. I think it was he had a couple lapses on defense.
For me, I feel the same way whoever asked that question. I wanted Arms late in that game in the overtimes. I wanted Arms in there as well because I think he's proven down stretches of big games, Baylor, Kansas at home, that he can play in those big-time moments. And, you know, Wilson, while I think he's a great player, hasn't been in those moments of yet. I think Adonis Arms was a little more a veteran in that situation than Wilson was.
Hold on. This guy, dude. Okay, hold on. This guy's name, and mad respect to you. If this is your actual last name, this is like – wild, and I would love to interact with you more, and we got to hear some stories about it. But Robbie Quackenbush,
excuse me,
he looks legit. He looks legit, Robbie. We're not like, dude, we don't want you to
Quackenbush. I bet he has a good time with it.
We don't want you to be de-incentivized from contributing more. But like, what a last name, Mr. Quackenbush. I love it, Robbie Quackenbush. He asked a very good question. Would KJ just not be able to help right now, or Buzzo? KU seemed to want it more on their offensive boards. Nick brought that up earlier. They did beat us on the rebound in the rebounding margin. Way too many second chances, agreed. Lastly, face guarding Abaji was working. Why do we go away from it?
I agree.
Yeah, you know, I can't really think
especially
of a reason.
Especially in that last possessions. I touched on it. McCullers should have had his butt to the ball.
Well, also, why did we go? And I don't know if Shannon was in foul trouble, but I kind of think Shannon was the guy who needed to be face guarding.
Yeah,
Abaji.
I agree too.
And we did, but then also, you got to remember, when a guy is that hot, I mean, he was going to find ways to touch the ball, but you got to do more. I mean, it's a good point. We didn't, you know, when the face guarding was working, kind of why'd we go away from it? That's a question I can't, honestly, I don't know, man. That's an Adams, you know, I got to leave that up to Coach
Marky Mark.
Marky Mark, man, to answer that one. That's a great question.
To his point about Buzzo.
Maybe it was tired and all that, but yeah, I don't know.
To his point about Buzzo and who else did he say? Oh, KJ.
KJ.
Again, that's one you got to leave up to Mark Adams because we haven't really seen those guys in big moments, so we're not in practice. We don't.
I would
know
say they're probably just not. They're not ready. They're not quite ready. They're just not quite there. When's the baseball preview? We will get back to you, Doug, on that one coming up here in a couple weeks. Thoughts on the new from our boy Chris. Thoughts on the new strong QB commit. We touched on that in the look around campus. Thank you for that question. Why has this January been 48 days long?
I agree. It feels like January 1st was like 3 months
ago. Preach, dude. Last but not least, as much as I love our team, we don't have to go, or we don't have that go-to dude when it matters. Would love for it to be Shannon, but don't think that's the answer.
We don't have a Keenan Evans.
So the question is, who is our dude at the end of the game come tourney time? I think that TJ Shannon is your best bet for it. Again, though, he's got to be able to do it in a way that's conducive to him, to his game. Attack. Get to the rim. Don't necessarily force it. I think he's the closest thing we have. One issue is obviously you're talking offensively. So Bryson Williams can be that guy. The only problem is
doubled.
He's a post, and so he's not. It's going to be a little more difficult for him to get it on his own.
Yeah,
you're going to have to be creative to find ways to get him open. But Bryson Williams can be that guy. I also think Kevin O'Banner can be that guy.
I mean, we saw what he did in the tournament last year.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Those are your three. I would put O'Banner and Shannon at first because I think they have the best opportunity
to create something for themselves.
And O'Banner
not really.
Maybe needs a little bit of help with it, but Shannon is your closest thing you're going to get to a Keenan Evans, I'm trying to think, just a pure Mac McClung. That's a good, Mac McClung. You know, he's the closest thing we have. Bryson Williams can be that guy, but you're going to have to figure out ways to get
it. I think Bryson Williams down the stretch is going to be that guy if they're not doubling him.
Yeah. Guys, that's all I got. Thank you for all the questions. I will say really quickly, because this was a huge issue a point of contingency on Twitter, and I want to make this last point because it was something I was pretty passionate about and I truly believe in. And that is, when it came to the incident, you know, Kevin McCullough put it on his story that somebody had, you know, with death threats and everything. Let me be the first to tell you, in any of these, you know, all three of us, oh, man, I'm going to have to really do a speed talk, speed around here, auctioneer style. Any of us three will tell you, if you are reaching out to players with death threats, with you know, racial slurs, anything like that, get help, man. And I'm going to assume it was either – it could have been a really deranged Tech fan, or it could have been a because – what I heard is it was mainly like
a sports betting incident?
Death threats. I was going to say death threats and stuff. It's either a deranged Tech fan, a troll, or it's a, you know, just crazy degenerate sports gambler like Lane who just.
But I still would never. I would still blame myself for making that bet.
I shouldn't even make that joke because it's like you're obvious. None of us are even can't even put ourselves in whatever. Mindset. These
the guy's in a deranged, sad
mindset. Yeah, deranged, delusional, psychotic. I don't even know. I put it in air quotes. Fans, but let's remember this, guys. As far as context goes, because I saw some stuff about, you know, Texas Tech's fan base gets this reputation, had this reputation. Y'all, let's not let the actions of
one.
We don't know. I mean, technically, we don't know if it was one, if it was maybe two or three. We don't know if it was a crazy sports game, a degenerate gambler who lost a shit ton of money on the money line and just had a mental breakdown. We don't know if it was it possibly could have been a troll. There's a lot to speculate on here. Let's not throw
every
the baby.
Tech fan.
And this is a real saying too, by the way. Let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater. Okay, like there are tons of good. That's a thing. Okay, that's a real saying. Lane's looking at me funny. I just saw a text from Nick. I thought he was telling me to, like, shut up or something.
No, just it's pod business.
Pod business, as always. First order of business. Let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater here again because, y'all, the outpour of support and love that you saw from tons of Red Raiders on Twitter. I mean, that's the majority. And not even just – that's the overwhelming majority. Is our fan base passionate as hell? Yes. Are they guilty of maybe cussing it and, you know, other fans or players? Sometimes, sure, they can get a little over animated, whatever. They're passionate. Guys, all the Texas Tech people I know, fans I know, are good. West Texas, not even West Texas all the time, down, you know, down to earth, good-hearted people. Yes, we can get animated. Yes, we can get passionate. They did the FU Trae Young chant against OU, whatever. You know, you got things that college kids are going to do. They're going to cuss sometimes. But let's not lump in a majority of our fan base
with some psycho deranged
person who is doing death threats and racial slurs. That we cannot accuse an entire faction of individuals, the Red Raider fan base, when in retrospect and looking at it, you know, hell, what's his name, Lane? We were talking about it. Brewer, transferring from Baylor. Yeah. He lost a game and got after Tech beat him on a field goal, he got death threats from Baylor. You see it happen in the NFL all the time. You see it happen Alabama football, basketball. I mean, this is not some new behavior.
This isn't solely Texas Tech.
No, it's not solely Texas Tech. And I get the argument of, well, it's still not good.
It's
not good. And nobody, I have not seen one person defend this dude. Every single interaction and reaction to this has been totally anti what this is.
Rightfully so.
Tech fans support their own. They're passionate. They're loyal. They love Texas Tech, the community, the players. You know, you always have some dumbass stuff going on Facebook forums and people, you know, people can claim that about us. Bad takes, armchair coaching, whatever. But you guys have to realize that is a completely separate category. That's a sick individual. And again, we don't know. It might not even be a Tech fan. It might be some loony gambler. And honestly, if I'm, no pun intended, if I'm betting on it or putting money on it, I would say it is probably some crazy-ass degenerate gambler. And even if it was one or two Tech fans, guys, we cannot subscribe to this notion that embodies and represents all of Red Raider Nation.
It's just simply not true.
It's not true, and everyone is condemning it. And that's,
and we see that because our fans show an out, you know, an outpour of love for McCullers and support for him, you know, saying that's wrong, that should never happen, and that guy's an idiot.
Yeah, so I'm just not, I'm not gonna entertain, you know, last thing, I'm just not gonna entertain this notion that we're gonna write off Red Raider Nation because of one instance. And again, we don't know the details exactly. If those come out and it's like
a tech fan,
10 to 20 tech fans degenerate that did this, okay, we can have a totally different conversation. But we don't know, man. We don't know. Don't let the wrong, what I tweeted out the other day, don't let, or last night, don't let the wrongdoing of one tarnish the entire goodwill and reputation of a group of others, man. I mean, Red Raider Nation is they're so passionate, they're loving, they're supportive, and there's so many good Red Raiders out there that I just don't think we can be hyperbolic and take that approach that it's, that we get that reputation for a reason. So go out, condemn the behavior, but support your teammates, support Mark Adams, support everybody, and don't, again, I mean, it's just Red Raider Nation. I still think we have the best fans in the country. Don't let this one deranged psychopath ruin it for everyone else.
Yeah.
Condemn that behavior. All right, boys. Super long ep, but a lot of good content. We're going to get a UT preview up to you soon. Biggest game in USA history.
A long
rate,
but a goodie.
Rate, review, subscribe, you know, and just love. I mean, speaking of loving on, like, your community, just show us some love, man. Love on Ramblin' Raiders because we sure as hell love our supporters. Lane, Nick, final thoughts.
Still keep looking for some more five-star reviews there.
Keep your guns up as always. Have a good week. Sparkling water, cucumber, lime.
Man, died.
Was that a mid-death?
Yeah, it was.
Oh my God, dude. That is like,
we out.
The question is, do we ever recover from that?
No, because that's the hypest part of our pod.
Hold on. Oh my God, it's heavy.
Oh, Jackson's working on something big over here.
Hey, I got a beat on it.
Working on something big with the speaker.
That thing ain't going
to
work.
Hey, this thing might be dead too.
Yeah. All right, we just have to go for a dry. We out.
Oh, that, I mean, you know, people are like listening to their call and they're like, this is my favorite part. Like,
yeah.
How could you screw this up? Note to self, charge all speakers. All
right, we out.
Well, I was going to make a joke. Sparkling water, cucumber, lime is the worst. Lane, Nick,
we out.
Jane, you say it's all over for you and me, girl.